people provide leverage in a business. But again, it comes with some challenges. It takes considerable investment to get returns from human beings. And that's because human beings have a mind of their own. Human beings have emotions. Human beings can be unpredictable. Human beings can leave you. They can walk out of your business even after you've invested in them by coaching them, by training them and stuff like that. Yeah. So despite these challenges, it doesn't mean that you should be scared of getting people to work in your business. So as of today, the only option you have to leverage in terms of resources, if you want to leverage other people's time, you want to leverage other people's talents, you want to leverage other people's energy, you still have to deal with human beings. They can be difficult to deal with. They can be unpredictable. But one thing is certain. If you get motivated people and you unleash them, you give them the proper guidance, the proper training, and they understand what success means for the company, and they understand how they fit into that success, human beings have the interesting ability to surprise you, even when you least expect it. They can move your business to dimensions and heights that you never expected.
Every big thing starts small. It's a natural law. Every big multinational corporation was once a small business. Welcome to the Small Starter Business Podcast, a unique podcast for practical tips and advice to help you start, grow, or turn around your business.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. I am your host, John Paul Iwoha. Today's episode is about the important things you need to do before you hire a person in your business. So essentially, this episode is about the people who are going to work with you to build your business. It doesn't matter if your business is still a startup or you're a growing company or you're a mature company. One thing is quite obvious. People provide a leverage in business. I don't know of any successful company that has been built on one person alone. That may just not be a company. It may just be some individual agent, right? But to build a company is usually made up of people. And the owner of the company, the founder, the entrepreneur, you leverage other people. You leverage their skills. You leverage their time. Very importantly, because all of us have the same amount of time every day. All of us have the same 24 hours. But if you can get other people to work with you and for you, you can also tap into their own 24 hours. So that's what leverage is. You get to leverage other people's time. You leverage other people's talent. You leverage their knowledge. You leverage their experience. You cannot know everything. But the moment you hire other experienced people, then you have far much more experience, right? So that's what leverage is about. You're leveraging other people to grow your business. And that's why you need to build a team of the right people, right? But then many entrepreneurs already understand the value of getting good people to work with them, to work for them. Many entrepreneurs already know that they need good people to take their business to the next level. In fact, for many entrepreneurs I've seen, the only thing holding them back from growing their business is they don't have the right people. So people issues are very common in business. So you have all sorts of hiring failures. You bring out the time and energy to hire somebody, and then the person ends up, you know, not adding any value to your business. And sometimes these errors can come in about three simple variations, right? Sometimes you hire for the wrong purpose. You hire somebody for the wrong purpose, it's a failure. The person doesn't bring in the value you expect. Sometimes you hire the wrong person. Sometimes that's often what happens. You hire the wrong person. The person is not the right fit for the role. The person is not the right fit for your company. The person doesn't have the right set of skills and experience or knowledge. Essentially, you hire the wrong person. So that's a problem. And sometimes you could hire at the wrong time. Sometimes timing is the issue. You hired those people at the wrong time and it ended up, you know, not adding any value to your company. So the reason why people power, building a team is very important in a business is that, you know, investing in people, it can be expensive. You know, investing in people is not like investing in equipment or buildings, those things that can't talk, right? Human beings are different. Human beings have emotions. Human beings can move. Human beings have a life, have a mind of their own. Human beings can be unpredictable. So it's difficult to invest in people. And I'm not just talking about the money. You invest in hiring people and paying their salaries. Investing in people takes time. Sometimes you need to train these people. Sometimes you need to coach these people. Sometimes you need to guide these people. That's valuable time you're taking away from running your business. So investing in people can be tough. Investing in people takes energy, right? You have to talk to these people. You have to coach them. You have to guide them. It takes your energy. It takes your time. So because it's such an important thing, that's why I often try my best to throw some light on this issue. So that if you find yourself in a situation where you are at the point where you started hiring people or you're about to start hiring people in your business, what are the important things you need to keep in mind? What are the important things you need to do before you go ahead to say, okay, now I want somebody, a total stranger, to join my company as the newest employee or as my first employee? What are the things you should do? Now, that's exactly what this episode is about. So based on my experience guiding other entrepreneurs who I've seen who have successfully applied these principles in their business, there are five things I think you need to pay close attention to before you make the move to actively engage somebody as an employee, either on a full-time basis or part-time basis in your business. Now, the first thing you have to do, incidentally, starts with you, right? And that's about making the mindset. You have to make a mindset shift, right? Now, what do I mean by a mindset shift? When you start your business, usually you're alone, or maybe you have a co-founder, but most times you're alone. So you get into the habit of doing things by yourself. You're the person who does the marketing, you do the procurement, you do customer service, you balance your books, you do your bookkeeping and accounts, you answer to the tax man, you clean the office. When you start, you're the person, you're also the administrator on your website, and you're also the person who is doing your social media. Essentially, you're a jack of all trades, but essentially you are a doer in your business. You do stuff. You roll up your sleeves and you do actual work. You are a player in your business, albeit a very key player, a central player in the success of your business. The moment you decide to hire somebody in your business, there is something that needs to shift in your mind. And sometimes it requires work because it is not easy to break a habit. You're already in the habit of doing things by yourself. More or less, you've taken up the mantra that, you know, if you want something to be done well, you better do it yourself. It sounds like an exciting mantra, but it's an unproductive mantra because you can't build a business that way. There is no successful entrepreneur, for example, who works like that. Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, or Elon Musk, or Aliko Dangote, none of them does everything in their business by themselves. So you can imagine you need to leave that mindset of if you want something to be done, you better do it yourself. You can't trust people to do things for you. If you really want something to be done well, do it yourself. If you stick to that mantra, you will continue to have a small business and a business that wholly revolves around you. So that's the mindset shift you have to make. And that mindset shift has to get to the point where you move from being a player or a doer in your business to being a coach or a leader. So just imagine that scenario. You used to be a player in the field, but right now you have to step into bigger shoes, get off the field and be the coach. So if you watch football, for example, the one Americans call soccer, you will always notice that the coach is an experienced person. Sometimes the coach is a former player, maybe in his younger days or her younger days, you know, they actually played the game, but now they are older and they are outside of the field. The coach is never in the field. The coach is usually on the sidelines, giving instructions, giving guidelines, you know, providing direction. That's what a coach does. And do you know, many times a coach is so experienced that the temptation can be very strong to actually remove your coaching garb and step into the field and do the work by yourself. But the moment you do that, you're no longer a coach, right? A coach does not play. A coach does not do. They may do, but they do maybe during training or before the game. The strength of a coach is in providing direction, providing guidance, providing training. and helping the players become better people. So the moment you decide to hire somebody, you need to start making that transition in your head into being a coach or a leader. You can't be that same person who continues to believe that if you want something to be done, you have to do it by yourself. If you continue to believe that, then you will always be in the way of the people you hire. You will never allow them to do the work. You will never trust them to do the work. You will always feel that their work is inferior and you can do a better job. So rather than coaching, you're so focused on doing. So that is usually a big problem that many businesses face when they start to hire people. They forget that they have to break the habit of doing. And you cannot blame them. They're already in the habit of doing. That's how they got their business to this stage. They were always actively involved. But right now, you've come to a level where you need to step back and guide other people to do the same things you used to do. So what the shift in thinking requires is you need to move from thinking of me. You know, when you were doing all the work in your business, when you were the jack of all trades, when you were doing the bookkeeping and the marketing and the finance and cleaning the toilets all by yourself, you're always thinking about me. It's just about me. This business is about me. I am the founder, CEO, CFO, CTO, COO. It's all about me. The moment you decide to hire, the me needs to become we, because you're building a team. You cannot be a me in a we situation. You have to now think beyond yourself. You have to, because you're now a leader, because you're a coach, you have to think beyond your own personal interests, your own independence, your own private interests, and start to think of the team as a unit. That's exactly, if not, you might end up being a selfish leader. That kind of leader where your people believe that you do not have their best interests at heart. The kind of leader who is selfish, who will always want to eat first, who doesn't really care about the welfare of the team, about how well they are doing the job, or if they can even do the job. You're just thinking about yourself. And what that will do is you will permanently damage the culture of your organization, because you will create an us versus them. You create a situation where your employees think they are on a separate team, while you are on a separate team. Sometimes they might call them, there's management and there's us. Or there's the oga, there's the boss, and there's us. Right? You don't want that. What you want to create is a sense of we. All of us are together in this. All of us are working towards the same goal. There is no more me. There is now we. So, and you know, it's impossible to think of we if you don't develop the muscle to trust that people are capable enough to do the job. Just imagine what a coach goes through. Before any game, the coach invests time, energy, money in training the team, teaching them what they need to do, showing them the strategy, running them through the goals, right? Sharing the vision with them, making sure that they understand the mission. The coach puts in all this effort to make sure that the players can do a good job. That's what a coach does. Right? But you cannot do that job if you don't feel that your people are capable enough to do the job. So being a coach requires that you are ready to become a teacher. You're ready to become somebody who is able to delegate. And it's impossible to delegate if you always think that you need to do the work by yourself, that people are largely incompetent, that people cannot be trusted to do the work. You know, and what that does is it also reflects poorly on you, because what kind of person hires an incompetent person? You saw this person before they became an employee in your company. You interviewed them and you deemed them worthy to work in your organization. And now you found that they're incompetent. The truth is, you hired the incompetent person. What does that say about you? Maybe you're also incompetent, right? So these things can go both ways. It's very easy for you to blame the people you hire, not forgetting that all you may be looking at is a reflection, your reflection in the mirror. So it's very important that mindset shifts. Is what I've noticed is one of the biggest hurdles. Is a simple hurdle, but it's also one of the biggest hurdles I've noticed that some entrepreneurs find it difficult to scale, because they are so engrossed in the me. It's all about me. I can't trust these people to do a good job. Nobody can do this job like me. Nobody gets it like me. You know, that's where usually there's a problem. So that's the first thing I just talked about. You need to be ready to make the mindset shift. Like I said, it's simple, but it's not easy. And unfortunately, it's an area where many entrepreneurs tend to struggle, right? The second thing you need to do before you think about hiring somebody in your business is to you need to be clear about the what, right? So let me explain. When I say about the what work do you want them to do for you? It's very common that you find in situations where an employee is not doing a good job. And then when you go and you sit down with that employee to understand what's really going on, you tend to find out that they don't have an understanding of what is expected of them. They don't know what they're supposed to do. So they are confused because today the boss shows up and says, do ABC. And then tomorrow the boss says, do XYZ. So there's a lot of confusion. They don't really know what they're supposed to do. They're not really sure what they're hired for. So you might hire this person, give them some big title, right? But they're really confused. What exactly do you want the hired person to do for you? Well, one simple way to get this out of the way is to create a job profile or a job description. Some people, a job description is much more popular, but it's not my favorite. I prefer a job profile. And if you are a member of our insiders community, there's a sample of a job profile in the dump, right? It's one of those resources I've uploaded there. A job profile does a better job than a job description, because a job description focuses more on what I want you to do. This is what I need you to do. Which unsurprisingly, you get to a situation where something needs to be done at the office, but then the employee is saying, it's not part of my job description. You know, you hear it a lot. It's not part of my job description. I wasn't hired to do that. And that's because a job description can be restrictive, because in the employee's mind, they just think that if they can do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 things, then they've done their job. Anything that's not on the job description is not their job. And that's not the kind of organization you need to run. Because if you have people thinking like that, things are going to be dropping through the cracks. People are going to keep sidestepping responsibility because they think or they believe it's not their job. So that's why I focus more on the job profile, because it's much more focused on the outcomes and the expectations, right? And it allows people to apply their initiative, you know, in doing work. So it's better when you have employees who have initiative, because even though something that needs to be done may not clearly be in their domain, they will go out and do that job, because they understand why it needs to be done. So that's why I prefer a job profile. The other thing about the what that you need to be clear about is, what results do you expect from the person, right? What results? And results are important, because you don't want to employ people who are just counting the clock. And by counting the clock, I mean people who just show up for work, people who are just interested in attendance or going through the motions or just putting in the effort. You cannot be paying people for effort. You can't be paying people for effort. What you should pay people for is results. But before people can get results, they need to know what results you're looking for. And they need to know how to deliver those results. Now, the good thing is, if you can show a potential employee the results you are looking for, what that will do is, it will scare away the lazy people. It will scare away the incompetent people, because beforehand, they can see that they cannot deliver these results. Then what then happens is, you end up attracting those people who have the courage and the competence to get the results that you're looking for. So you need to be very clear about results. And like I mentioned, results are very different from effort. If you're going to hire for effort, all you're going to get are people who just pay lip service. They work when you're around. They show up for work at 8 o'clock or whenever you say they should show up. They leave when you say they should leave. They're just going to keep showing up, but you're not going to get any results. No serious work will be done. But then you can't penalize them, because they're going to say, but sir, I came to work. I did everything you asked me to do. I did work, you know? But it's not about doing work. It's about getting results. So it's a very tricky concept you need to understand. And it's important that you get the people you're hiring to understand that you're hiring them for results, not for effort. You know, you're hiring them for results, not for effort. And it's very important. So you need to be clear on the what. And like I said, if you're a member of the Insiders program, the sample in the dump will be quite helpful in this area. Now, the third thing you need to pay attention to before you set out to hire somebody as either the 10th employee in your business or even the very first employee in your business is, you need to be ready to sell the why. Now, the why is very important. You need to be able to sell the why. So when you're hiring people, you're not just giving them an opportunity to earn a salary or earn an income. No, that's not the perspective you should have. When you are hiring somebody, you are selling them the opportunity to be part of your journey. You are selling them the vision, the big picture. So no matter what that person does in your organization, you should sell people the big picture before they join you. You should sell them the big picture, not just the job. Most people just focus only on the job. Okay, I'm hiring you as maintenance manager, and you focus on the maintenance manager. But how does being a maintenance manager, you know, fit into the overall success of the company? How does doing your job well as a maintenance manager and getting results as a maintenance manager, how does it support the success of the company? That is where many people miss out. They sell the job, they sell the role, they sell the responsibility, but they don't sell the business. They don't sell the company. You need to help people see the big picture. Because if people don't see the big picture, and before I go ahead, I need to mention this. Human beings are bright people, right? If you allow people to manifest and, you know, apply their initiative, they are largely going to surprise you. Except you're dealing with a lazy person or an incompetent person, you know? Except you're dealing with those kinds of people. Anybody who is ready to work, who has passion and excitement, if you show them the big picture and give them the freedom and guidance that they need, they will surprise you. That's usually the way it is, right? But the thing is, most times, like I said, we just focus on the job. But some things are much more important than just the job. The big picture includes your mission. What exactly does this company do? Don't forget that sometimes you might be hiring somebody who is doing work that they might find difficult to understand how they fit into the general direction or, you know, the general direction of the company. For example, a driver. You're hiring somebody as a driver and your business is into construction. So this guy is not one of your engineers, he's not one of your technicians, he's just a driver. He drives the company car. How does that contribute to the success of the company? You need to let that guy know that it's important. His job is important because he makes sure you show up at your project sites and you show up at your clients' locations for important meetings that determine how much money the company makes, the credibility of your company, your brand, and stuff like that. You need to let him understand that how he looks, how professional he looks, how he carries himself, what he does in public, how he reflects on the brand of the company. He needs to see himself beyond just a driver. He needs to see himself as a boat, as one of those boats in the big machine that is your company. That's very important. So somebody like a driver, you might be like, you know, there's no point explaining the mission of this company to a driver. What does the driver know? The driver needs to know the mission of the company. What does this company do? What exactly does this company do? Now, this is much more important than when you just focus on the job, which is you're going to be a driver. You're going to drive this car. You show up at 8 a.m. You close at 6 p.m. We're going to pay you X amount and that's it. When you sell the job, people don't understand the why. But when you sell them the big picture, what's the mission of the company? What's the vision of this company? What do we want to be in the next 10 years? What are we working towards? What are we going to be in the next 10 years? Do we want to be the biggest player in our market? Do we want to be the most efficient? Do we want to be the most, whatever it is, you have to share that vision. You also have to share the goals of the business. What is the business intent on achieving in the next 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years? If your people don't see the big picture, they are going to end up just focusing on the jobs you give them. They will not apply their initiative. They will not be creative. They will not step up when the time shows up because they are afraid of making mistakes because they don't understand what this company is doing. They're not going to do it because it's not their job. So don't sell them the job. Sell them the big picture and then show them how their job fits into the big picture. The other thing is you need to evoke passion and belief in the potential candidate. Essentially, you're looking to recruit a believer, somebody who has the seeds of belief in the company. There has to be some level of enthusiasm. You can't just hire people who just want to work because of the salary. Yes, I know most employees want to work for the pay. If you don't pay them, they will not work. But, you know, at a certain point, pay becomes inconsequential. You know, Some employees will leave you in a heartbeat if somebody makes them a better offer in terms of pay. Sometimes the difference can just be $100. If somebody is going to pay them $50 more, they will leave you in a heartbeat. That's because for them, it's just about the money. But why don't you make it more than the money? Why don't you make them understand why it's a better investment of their time, you know, to be with this company, to join your journey? So that's why it's always important that you sell them on something that is beyond the money, because if you're just selling on the money, the truth is somebody else can pay higher than you. Your competitor, somebody else can show up from somewhere and offer something better. So you need to be able to evoke passion and belief in the potential candidates. So just so that we don't lose track, I've covered 3 out of the 5 important things I wanted to share with you. The first I talked about is you have to make the mindset shift, right? From being a doer to being a coach. The second thing I talked about is to be clear about the what. What exactly do you want the person to do for you? And what results are you looking for? And the third thing I talked about is you have to be ready to sell the why. And the why is the big picture of the company. The why is your mission, your vision, the goals of the organization, what the company is doing. You have to sell the big picture, not just the job, right? So that's the third one. The fourth thing you have to make sure of before you hire people, this is actually the most basic one that should be very clear, right? But some people still make a mistake in this area, is to be sure that you have the cash flow for payroll. You need to be sure that you have the cash flow to pay their salaries, right? There is no easier way to make a bad impression than to start to owe people their salaries or not to pay them on time, right? So that's not a good first impression. At least if in the beginning, you have to make sure you create a solid impression. And the only way to do that is to make sure that you have cash flow for payroll. Now, if you notice, I'm talking about cash flow. I'm not talking about profits or anything else, right? And that's because salaries and wages are paid in cash. You need cash to pay salaries. Salaries are not paid in expected profits. You cannot pay salaries based on expected profits that you're expecting that, you know, will come. Now, that may be likely, but it all depends on the probability of actually getting or banking those profits, right? You can't pay people on the basis of promises. You can't tell your employees, I'm sorry, I haven't paid you, but the reason I haven't paid you is because our customers haven't paid. Most employees don't care. They've done the work. They need to be paid. That's exactly how it works. The only person who might be paid with a promise is an entrepreneur like you. You can pay somebody who is entrepreneurial with a promise. You can pay them with a promise of, I'll give you equity in my company, or I'll give you a commission, or I'll pay you later. An entrepreneur can understand that language, but employees don't understand that language. The only language that employees understand is cash. Cash in hand or cash in their bank account. So that's the only language they will understand. And for that reason, you need to make sure you plan at least 6 to 12 months in advance for your payroll. Like I said, it's a very cheap way to make a very terrible impression that you hire people and you're already owing them 2 months in, 3 months in. Most people are not going to stay. The reason why some employees stay at a company that is owing them money is when there's a measure of loyalty. Maybe they've been working at that company for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and they've been paying them at the right time. And all of a sudden, the company is now going through bad times. You know, some employees are going to be considerate. Because there's a measure of loyalty, some of them will understand and say, you know, this company doesn't normally owe me money. You know, they've been true to their word. They've been very credible. They've been paying me on time. And right now, they're going through a rough patch. I think I can endure a bit. Some employees will do that for you. But not when you haven't had the time to build your reputation. You haven't had the time to build the loyalty within your employees. And you're already owing them within their first 2, 3, 6 months. Because there's no loyalty, they are easily going to leave you. They're going to abandon you. Then the other thing that could have an impact on your cash flow is how you hire. So sometimes what causes the problem is that you hire several people at the same time. What that does is it puts pressure on your cash flow. It puts pressure on your cash because you're not right. You now have to pay 5 people, 10 people, 20 people an additional 20 people, right? It puts pressure on you. So if you notice that your cash may not be able to support the number of people you're trying to hire, you can stagger the hiring. So rather than hire 8 people at once, you can hire 2 every month for the next 8 months, 4 months or so, right? You can spread the hiring so that that way you are able to get the people you hire to add value to your business. You can generate some cash, and then with that extra cash, you can hire the next batch of people, right? And then the fifth thing I would want you to consider is that you need to be clear about what you're going to prioritize. If you're hiring people for a position in your business, what are you going to prioritize when you're hiring those people? Will you prioritize for skills or experience or character? So skills, for example, are you going to hire on the basis of what the person can do, what they can do, right? Or are you going to hire on the basis of experience, how long they've been doing it for? Or are you going to hire on the basis of character, somebody who fits the culture of your organization and the kind of persona you want for a typical employee of your company? Now, to give you a bit of a guide, right? If you're going to hire for skills and experience, usually skills and experience are important in the short term. When what you're looking for is like technical capabilities, you want quick results and you want minimal errors. So if you want results in the short term, there's no point hiring somebody and then training them and then waiting until the training kicks in before you start getting results. Most people just look for an experienced person who is working somewhere and you poach the person, or you make sure that anybody who you're going to consider for the position already has the skills and experience. So what that means is you don't have to retrain the person, or you don't have to wait for them to gain experience. They already have the experience, you already have the skills, they can put it to work in your business and start getting you results, right? But then if what you're going to hire for is character is you're playing the long game. And that's because you're interested in building your business in the long term. You hire for character when you're building your core team of believers, people who believe in the company, or people you can groom and coach and train to fit the mold that you're looking for your company. You hire for character when you have a certain culture for your company in mind. You want people who exhibit certain features, who people have certain behavioral and personality traits, right? So you consciously look for those kinds of people. Character is also important if you're thinking of succession planning for your company, right? And you want to build in redundancies. So you want to make sure that you have people who are sticking around, and then when somebody resigns or retires, that position is not just left fallow. So when you want people who will really stay, you want to build them in the image and likeness of your company, you hire for character. And the first place I ever worked, where I started my career, is an example of this. Consulting firms do it really well. They hire fresh graduates from school who do not have any work experience, but are very smart, maybe had like very good results, like, you know, they have solid academic merits, but they don't have any work experience. They don't have any corporate skills. And then what these companies do is they start to train you from scratch. They train you, they expose you, they guide you, they build that confidence in you. So from that early age, from the age of 22, 23, 24, 25, they build you in their image. And that's why even up till today, I will still identify with a place like PwC, right? Because my very first experience in work, they molded me in that image to be a PwC person, you know, and I have carried it along in my career. So it's something you do in the long term, because some of these people you hire, they may leave your company, they may move on, you know, but the good thing is that character you build in them, the ones who remain, they are likely going to be in your company for a very long time. So it all depends on the game you're playing. Are you playing for the short term? If you're playing for short term, hire for skills and experience. If you're playing the long game, hire for character, and then training the skills, use a combination of training and coaching and guidance to mold that person into the kind of person who will stay in your company for a long time. So at this point in the episode, let's recap, right? So I talked about the importance of people in a business. People provide a critical source of leverage. When you build a team of people in your business, what it means is that you're leveraging other people's time, you're leveraging their talents, you're leveraging their skills, their experience, you're leveraging their energy, because you cannot do it alone. But the moment you have other people, you can go further, right? So I talked about that. And then I talked about the five important things you have to do before you hire somebody in your business. The first thing I talked about is the importance of making the mindset shifts. You know, all this time you've been used to being a doer and a player in your business. It's time to step aside and become a coach who provides the guidance, the training, the direction, the motivation, right, in your team. The second thing I talked about is to be clear about the what. You need to be clear about what that person is going to do and the results you expect from them. This point is a major point of confusion in many situations where the person who is employed is confused about what they are supposed to do. What they are supposed to do is not clear to them, so they are confused. They don't feel like they have any direction. The third thing I talked about is to be ready to sell the why. Many people focus on selling the job, and as a result, what you end up with are employees who are not willing to go the extra mile, who are not willing to apply their initiative, because they don't understand how they fit into the success of the company. You know, so they remain a silo. So when you are trying to hire, you have to sell them the big picture. What does this company do? What is our mission? What is our vision? What are our goals and objectives and things like that? The fourth thing I talked about is to be sure that you have the cash flow for payroll. The worst thing you can do is to create a bad impression for your business in the very first few months, because you cannot afford to pay your people a salary. That time is not enough to build the loyalty and the credibility that people will need to understand with you that you cannot pay them. You see, so it's a very important point to hold. And then the fifth thing I discussed is that you need to be clear about what you want to prioritize. What are you going to hire for? Will you hire for skills, knowledge, and experience? Now, if you're going to do that, that means you're looking at the short term. That means you're focused on quick results. That means you want to minimize errors. You're focusing on technical capability. You don't have the time or the budget to start training people. You want people who can start giving you results today, right? So, but that's short term. If you're thinking of the long term, then you have to hire for character. You have to hire people that are more likely to form part of your core team, people who are more likely to fit into the culture of your company, and people who are more likely going to be the future of the company in terms of the succession planning of the company. So at this point in the episode, let's talk about our sponsors, Quezza. Quezza is liberating commerce, e-commerce on the African continent. Quezza has made it possible for small and medium-sized businesses in several different African countries to trade across borders in other African countries and even trade outside of Africa. So we're now seeing merchants in countries like Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, selling to customers in the US and Canada. Some of these merchants are even selling to customers in other African countries, in places like Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, South Africa, right? So I liken Quezza to the same miracle that Alibaba did for the Chinese market, right? Quezza is making it possible for businesses in Africa to explore foreign markets. And when you explore foreign markets, you can sell more, you can get better prices, and more interestingly, you can earn foreign exchange. So to check out Quezza, Quezza is Kuuezza. To check out Quezza, Quezza has two apps on the App Store. There's an app for the seller, and there's an app for the user. So if you're a merchant, check out the Quezza seller app. Again, Quezza is Kuuezza. Check out the Quezza seller app on the App Store or the Play Store. If you're a user, you want to explore the range of products that are available on the Quezza platform, download the Quezza user app. Download the Quezza user app. So at this point in the episode, there are four things I need you to consider. The first is to join the Insiders program. The Insiders is an exclusive community of entrepreneurs that work directly with me. We focus on all the major choke points, pain points, obstacles, challenges, and problems that confront entrepreneurs in the areas of sales, setting prices, startup strategy, how to find strategic partners, how to raise capital for your business, how to grow the business, both on the sales side and on the operation side, how to systematize your business, how to hire the right people for your company, and a lot of other issues that entrepreneurs have to deal with on a daily basis. We provide an opportunity to network. So we are a community of entrepreneurs from over 20 different countries. There's an opportunity to learn. We are always having exclusive access to subject matter experts during our mastermind monthly, our monthly mastermind sessions. So if you've been listening to this podcast and you like the quality, there is much, much more you can learn by being a member of the Insiders community. And you can check us out at smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it is smallstarter.com/insiders. The second thing I need you to do is to tell your friends about this podcast. The information you're getting here is first-rate, practical, as realistic as it can be, and on top of that, it is free. So I charge you, I implore you, I ask you to share this goodness with your friends. Any, you have a smart friend who is about to start a business, has already started, is struggling, wants to grow the business, is having challenges or whatever, just tell them to listen to the Small Starter Business Podcast. If they Google Small Starter Business Podcast, I think we're the very first results on Google, and they can benefit from the trove of information in this podcast. The other thing I want to bring to your notice is, if you've been listening to this podcast and you like what you hear, you've learned from this podcast, you've been able to apply some of the things we've taught here, and you got results, give us a 5-star review. Now, a 5-star review is a good pat on the back. But on top of that, what a 5-star review does is it helps other people find our podcast, because a 5-star review makes it easier for us to rank on the podcast directories. So by giving us a 5-star review, what you're telling the algorithm is that this is a really good podcast. I'm giving it a thumbs up, and I recommend that other people listen to it. So to leave us a 5-star review, you can do it at smallstarter.com/review. It is smallstarter.com/review. Again, if you are serious about the business you are building, it may not really help you to wait until you have started the business. Even if you are still a few months out from starting your business, join the Insiders community. If you have already started your business and you're facing challenges, from teething challenges to very serious existential problems in your business, or you're already a mature business and you're looking for new routes of growth or new areas of markets and product development, join the Insiders community. There's a lot you can learn from our present members, and there's also a lot you can learn by way of networking and sharing your ideas, experiences, and all whatnot. So to join the Insiders program, you can check us out at smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it is smallstarter.com/insiders. So to round off this episode, if you remember something I said somewhere at the beginning of this episode, I said that people provide leverage in a business. But again, it comes with some challenges. It takes considerable investment to get returns from human beings. And that's because human beings have a mind of their own. Human beings have emotions. Human beings can be unpredictable. Human beings can leave you. They can walk out of your business even after you've invested in them by coaching them, by training them, and stuff like that. Yeah. So despite these challenges, it doesn't mean that you should be scared of getting people to work in your business. The truth is, if you really want to grow, there is only one key that can unlock growth. And as of the time of releasing this episode, in 2021, the capabilities of artificial intelligence or robots or inanimate objects cannot yet replace human beings completely in businesses. Even if they can, the grand majority of small and mid-sized businesses that listen to this podcast cannot afford such technologies. So as of today, the only option you have to leverage in terms of resources, if you want to leverage other people's time, you want to leverage other people's talents, you want to leverage other people's energy, you still have to deal with human beings. They can be difficult to deal with. They can be unpredictable. But one thing is certain. If you get motivated people and you unleash them, you give them the proper guidance, the proper training, and they understand what success means for the company, and they understand how they fit into that success, human beings have the interesting ability to surprise you, even when you least expect it. They can move your business to dimensions and heights that you never expected. So yes, they can be a double-edged sword. But then when they work in your favor, my goodness, they can actually do miracles. So until the very next episode, I wish you all the very best. Stay positive, stay strong, and I look forward to sharing some other interesting topic with you in the very next episode. Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. To take our free business courses or join one of our signature programs for special entrepreneurs like you, head over to smallstarter.com to join our private community. See you inside.